Welcome back to today's history. Today's history, we're going to be talking about the Civil War, breaking down the Civil War timeline, just the basis of how
Civil
it went
War
down.
In general.
Yeah, just in general, all around.
Some parts may be in depth, but then again, we're unpredictable, so who knows.
Hold on. Let me... All right. We're going to start off with November 6, 1860, was when Abraham Lincoln was elected 16th President of the United States. He was the first Republican president in the nation who represents a party that opposes the spread of slavery in the territories of the United States. Now, we're actually going to start off talking before, like a little bit of antebellum, before everything like that. And actually... Before even that, let's first give, I'm going to give credit to the timeline source that we're using. We are using timelines and going more into depth about them. Today we're going to be using nps.gov, History, Culture, Civil War, Timeline.com. And so, yeah. So, as I was saying, antebellum America, the point was that the problem with antebellum America was that the states were always in a constant balance because when new states would join, they could throw off the entire balance of slave and free states. And so they would. It would basically go a little bit like this. Let's say the new state, Minnesota, came in and said, hey, you know, they're like, hey, welcome to the Union. You know, do you want to be a free state or a slave state? We think you should be a free state. Then the South would get angry and say, you know, basically, no, I think you should be a slave state, and why don't we let them decide? They would choose slave state. So then they would say, guess what, now we have one more up. And now the North would say, okay, well, here's introducing you the new state of Maine that's going to be a free state, and y'all also can't have any more slaves above the Minnesota Compromise line, or the 3440 line, I believe it was called. And so they were saying that any states that joined above that line could not become a slave state.
But they were trying.
Mm-hmm, they were trying to try to make a balance there. Now, it went something like that, where the one would get a new state, and then they would...
They were basically trying to one-up each other each time.
Each time, and then...
Fell unsuccessful throughout the timeline of history.
And then basically, they would be like, yay, we solved the issue of slavery, and it will never come up again.
Without solving the problem.
And then as soon as a new state joined, the problem just kept reoccurring.
Until the United States got bigger, and then eventually...
Well...
And okay.
The state that really threw everything off balance was Texas. Because at the time, Texas was not just the size of what Texas is today, which even now, Texas is the second biggest state...
It is the biggest state.
...to Alaska. But if you take into consideration population... Like, is Alaska really technically a state? Yes, but there isn't that high of a population in Alaska.
Yes, I would say Texas is necessarily the biggest state because of the size and the population of which people live in.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what population means, but, you know.
Now, it's not the biggest state by population, but either way, it basically is the biggest state. But it used to go all the way up onto the same line that Washington, D.C., was on. So it used to go all the way up there into that string. If you want to look up the size of Texas originally, you will see pictures of it. It was very large. It was...
Just for reference now, the size of Texas now is 268,597 miles today.
Uh-huh.
And Alaska is
600,000. 663,000 miles. Now,
yeah, close enough. I'm not great at math.
Now look up what the original size of Texas was. It was much bigger because it went and it strung all the way up into, I believe, Kansas, if I'm thinking right. I don't quote me on that. I could be completely wrong. But
of what?
Of Texas originally went all the way up to like the same point as D.C.,
I believe it went to, like, halfway through Kansas.
Yeah. So, they decided to split Texas into, you know, half because of how big of a state it was. But not only that, they decided to try to split it up because it was a slave state. And if they kept Texas the size it was and it wanted to be a slave state, it would break the Missouri Compromise. So they decided to try to fix that.
What year was this?
I'm not sure the years, but these were all of the years leading up to the Civil War, before 1866, basically.
1860s. That's what.
But yeah, you guys can look it up on your own. It was very big, but that's not the point. Now.
Yes, it will come up as its original size today, as I have learned.
Yeah. So Texas was ginormous.
It was
and Texas, once again, as it always does, decides it's going to be
better
than everyone else and decide to be a slave state. But that's not better than everyone else, but you get what I mean. But then...
Better in this time sense.
Now, the thing that really... There was a little senator who decided he wanted to build a big choo-choo train that goes all the way through the entire United States. Now, people didn't agree with that because that... train would allow transit all the way through the entire continental United States, meaning that
if a slave wanted to, they could walk through the different states to a free state and no longer be a slave.
Exactly.
Without any consequences.
So that's when I'm pretty sure they brought into effect the fugitive slave law, meaning that any slave owner could put a bounty on or even capture a slave. Now, I will say, for majority of the population in the North, this issue was not about the morality of slavery. It was about an economic problem. But for about 4 million Americans, it was solely about the human right to be free and have civil rights and be able to vote and do things like that.
They wanted equality.
One of the biggest leaders... who personally is one of my favorite African-American leaders of that time, was Stephen Douglas. He supported the women's right movement. He supported the African-American rights movement and all of those different movements to try to create more equality. He was just all around a pretty good guy.
Stand-up guy.
And, yeah, and he always was kind of trying to do his part. So, different African-American leaders like that. But John Brown as well. John Brown was a bit of a crazy guy. He went around killing a lot of slave owners and releasing a lot of slaves. I mean, I'm not trying to say what he did was ineffective, but it was just not the most moral way to do things.
To be honest, I agree with him. He did it for the right. He had the right intentions,
He just didn't have the right...
The right
execution.
Yes. The right solving to that problem was not... It was executed poorly.
Yeah.
But the intentions of keeping everyone civil and equal was there, and it was effective in a way. Just not as we would all would have hoped, per se.
Uh-huh. Now we're kind of getting past antebellum. We're getting closer and closer to the beginning of the Civil War. Now, even though Abraham Lincoln grew up in a small town in Kentucky, didn't go to school, opened his own law firm, and did all this stuff, and was involved in...
He went to school?
No, he did not. He went
proof that you can do anything, guys.
Well, then again, not many people went to school back at that time, but he had been studying as a lawyer, and in fact, he was actually a very good lawyer, and I'm pretty sure in one of his cases... What he would do is, like, for instance, in this... Let's just make up a case. He, I believe this case I was watching was from Oversimplified, the YouTube channel. Very informational channel. One of the people who inspired me to do this video, or this, well, podcast, but I've seen it, and it's very
interesting. No, the reason why he wanted to
Antebellum America, he was doing his own little, in smaller politics, local politics, that kind of thing. And so eventually, Abraham Lincoln in his cheekbones decided he was going to run for president.
We support him.
He told multiple times in his campaign speech that he was not planning to take away their slaves. His plan, which is the truth, his plan was to just cut slavery off from spreading. So, yes.
He wants to limited... Wait.
He wanted to cut off its growth.
Yes.
He wanted to cut off the head of the problem and let the rest of the body die, basically. For lack of better analogies. That was really dark. But now we're getting into him. He was elected November 6, 1860, as we said. Now we're going to December 17th, 1860 as well. It was the first secession convention meets in Columbia, South Carolina. This was a big deal because South Carolina had stated that, quite ironically, that according to them, the North could not realize that there was a true racial inequality and that they were superior, basically, and that they felt, because of the North's hostility towards the issue, they wanted to secede. Now, at this time, in this time period, people were often more loyal to their state than to the federal government itself. So if a state decided they wanted to secede, most people would agree with it because they would support their state and be loyal to their state. Now, most of these states thought, even then, that they still had the right to secede. In fact, Texas is the only state that technically still has the right to secede and would probably succeed if it became its own country, possibly, considering that it is the only state where its own land records and its own land records are all kept inside of its state. So
Texas was also once a country back in the day.
And it was, San Antonio was actually the capital, and then San Antonio, I believe, was attacked, and then they changed it into Austin. What's it?
Right, because of the Alamo thing.
Well, it happened after the Alamo.
Whatever.
It happened after the Alamo.
I'm clearly so knowledgeable of the thing we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, anyway, December 20th, 1860, South Carolina officially secedes from the Union.
Wow, you're wearing a red shirt and everything, right?
January 1861, six additional southern states seceded from the Union, I believe including Texas, South Carolina, Georgia, New Mexico, I want to say, maybe? Louisiana and a few of those other states had joined them. Four southern states decided to stay as border states and not secede, becoming neutral states in the conflict, and some eventually did join the Union or the Confederacy, hence West Virginia. They were tired of Virginia, and so they went into and formed their own state, West Virginia, to join the Union.
Which I think is stupid.
Out of any of the names, not even Left Virginia, not anything, and they chose West.
Isn't West Virginia on top of the other Virginia?
It's the West of Virginia.
Oh.
It's its own state, but it's just the West of Virginia. Anyway, February 8th to February 9th, 1861, the southern states that secede create a government at Montgomery, Alabama. The Confederate States of America are formed. Now, the stupid thing was that the Confederates and the Union, well, the Confederates mainly, it was their fault. They decided it's going to be the smartest idea to put our capital not even 100 miles away from the Union capital. So that if they wanted to, they could just ship all their men to their capital and then just completely attack us. Now, the other, at this point, Abraham Lincoln's strategy and his thoughts were to try to attack the Confederacy first and to try to split down the Mississippi River, to split supply lines, reinforcements, and other things like that. They also made the Southern Snake, which was where they made an entire blockade around all of the southern states to prevent any type of supply. Supplies to be imported into those states, which was very smart. But the problem was that most of his generals were just old men who were too scared and too lazy to attack the Confederacy. So that's when he started replacing people. And that's where the man, the myth, the legend, Ulysses S. Grant comes in. Fun fact about Ulysses is that his name's not actually Ulysses S. Grant. When he went to military school, they mistakenly wrote that as his name, and he just stuck with it for the rest of his life.
That's sad. So why don't you go by your own name?
Because his name was pretty bad. I forgot what the name was, but it was pretty weird.
Oh.
Well, now we have February 18th, 1861. Jefferson Davis is appointed to the first president of the Confederate States of America at Montgomery, Alabama, a position he will hold until elections can be arranged. Now, he ended up actually staying as the president, but many people in the Confederacy did agree that he was a terrible leader. He was a well-known military man, but he was a terrible president because he only really cared about the military aspect of things. He wasn't paying attention to the people aspect of things.
Didn't care about the population, just care about the look of the military.
Which is the problem of a lot of societies today.
It's not very smart.
Possibly North Korea, but just in case of a takeover, we're going to say their military is just very interesting. In case we ever get taken over, they can't find this podcast and kill me.
Yes, their way of thinking was not necessarily logical for the things that they were trying to execute.
Well, I think they had a point with trying out the military aspect, but I think if they would have chosen more of an aspect of for the people and really, really trying to do stuff for the people, they would have also gotten a lot more support.
If they would have evenly distributed their points of view,
and
they
their supplies and resources, because a lot of them were going straight to the military,
they would have much better success, is what we're saying.
Now,
or trying to, anyway.
I'm glad that they didn't get the success, because obviously nowadays we know that there's no such thing as a racial inequality. We're all made equal. Anyone who thinks otherwise, you can click off this podcast because you're a racist and you're ignorant.
Also, if you're sexist, bye.
Yeah, that's
don't like you either.
Just, you know, equality is important, but I think there's a limit to where equality, people don't understand how equal things are.
Just because someone views something differently than you does not mean they're that, less or more of you.
Your views don't make you a better person or smarter person, so.
Morals,
March 4th, 1861, Abraham Lincoln is inaugurated as the 16th president of the United States in good old Washington, D.C. April 12th, 1861, Southern forces fire upon Fort Sumter, South Carolina. Now, quite ironically, this is when the Civil War technically, formally started, but the Confederates, when they were there, believed that that was the end of the Civil War, that they had won.
Hadn't even started yet.
Well, they just believed by winning at Fort Sumter they had already won because they already knew the line of generals, and they were like, shoot, they're not going to attack back.
Mm-hmm.
They were very wrong. Now, one comment I'm going to make is, why do all the 18th century generals look like turtles? Like, they all look like weird animals.
What a random fact to include
in
this history podcast.
I'm just saying, Hooker looks like a turtle, and
who?
General Hooker looked like a turtle. He looked like a snapping turtle. Hooker was a very common name at that time, especially like the last name.
Just today in modern time, I'm immature, is what we're saying.
April 15th, 1861. Interesting. Well, he did that. April 15th, 1861, President Lincoln issues a public declaration that an insurrection exists and calls for 75,000 militia to stop the rebellion. As a result of this call of volunteers, four additional southern states secede from the Union in the following weeks. Lincoln will respond on May 3rd with an additional call for 43,000 volunteers to serve for 3 years, expanding the size of the regular army. So that was a big deal because they were expanding their army and they were already starting to employ and deploy troops. Now, they were not taking or enlisting any African Americans, especially in the South. Eventually in the war, the North did allow African Americans, I believe, in total 200,000 to, not 200,000, maybe it was 20,000, I can't remember. It was a good amount of men, though. To enlist, and for the other men, it was that they had to go fight for their country, and especially for the African Americans, knowing that they were fighting for the freedom of their brothers and their race.
It's truly motivating.
Was, I'm sure, truly motivating because they knew exactly what they were fighting for.
Yes.
So, May 24th, which is the day after my birthday, 1861, Union forces cross. Yep. Union forces cross the Potomac River. It hasn't been 200 years already. The Potomac River and occupy Arlington Heights, the home of future General Robert E. Lee, during the occupation of nearby Alexandria, and that Colonel Elmer Ellsworth, commander of the 11th New York Infantry and a close friend of Lincoln's, shot dead by the owner of the Marshall home just after removing a Confederate flag from his roof. So, that was interesting. Fun fact about Robert E. Lee is before the Civil War formally began, Abraham Lincoln actually approached him because of his military record to possibly lead his, be a general in his military. Even though now he's looked at as one of the most famous generals of the Confederacy because of his insane victories, because of his military strategy. Now we have June 3rd, 1861, a skirmish near Philippi in Western Virginia. Wasn't West yet. In the first clash of the Union and Confederate forces in the East, June 10th, 1861, Battle of Big Bethel, and the final, the first land battle of the war in Virginia. June 20th, 1861, you know, I'm just going to stop saying 1861 until it actually changes the year, was at the culmination of the Wheeling Convention. The region that composed the northwestern counties of Virginia broke away from the state to form West Virginia, officially designated and accepted as the 35th state of the Union on June 20th, 1863. So, now we have July 21st was the Battle of Bull Run, or First Manassas, is fought near Manassas, Virginia. The Union Army under General Irwin McDowell initially succeeds in driving back Confederate forces from General Pierre Gustave, I'm not going to say the rest of his name because that's too long of a name, but the arrival of the troops under General Joseph E. Johnston initiates a series of reverses and sends McDowell's army in panicked retreat to the defenses of Washington. It is here that Thomas Jonathan Jackson, a professor at VMI, will receive everlasting fame as Stonewall Jackson. Now, it's quite ironic. At first, I kind of thought that his name was Stonewall Jackson because his face looked like he ran straight into a stone wall. I guess not. I guess his name is because he led his men to a stone wall, but I like my version better.
Well, I mean, if you consider himself to be a part of his men, I guess your statement could still stand.
Actually, I didn't think about that. Is this important? We're going to skip ahead a little bit into different battles that actually, that's an interesting name of a battle. Now we have October 21st, 1961, Battle of Ball's Bluff, Virginia. Colonel Edward D. Baker, senator from Oregon and a friend of President Lincoln. Lincoln had a lot of friends, I guess. Led troops across the Potomac River only to be forced back to the river's edge where he was killed. The ensuing Union withdrawal turned into a rout with many soldiers drowning while trying to recross the icy waters of the Potomac River. Now we're going to keep on going into a few very, very big and very, very important battles. We have February 22nd, 1862 was a very big moment.
February.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
February.
I thought you were saying it was weird.
February.
No, that's wrong.
February. That's not wrong. It's February.
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 Okay, yeah, say it like that.
February. February. Anyway. February 16th, or,
here's
as I was saying,
what's up, buddy?
Where were we? The February 22nd, 1862, Jefferson Davis is officially inaugurated as President of the Confederate States of America.
America. You jumped from October to February?
Well, we're skipping a little bit because a lot of it is at battles that make a lot of sense. Now we have, one of the only naval battles with ironclads in the entire, interesting way to say, in the entire Civil War, which was the,
boy, that was
I lost where I was. The, dang, I forgot where I was. Oh, yeah, the naval battle between the USS Monitor and the CSS Virginia, the old USS Merrimack. The first ironclads is fought in Hampton Roads, Virginia. We have April 24th, 25th, same year, 1862. A Union fleet of gunships under Admiral David Farragut passes Confederate forts guarding the mouth of the Mississippi River. Now, the Mississippi River was a very important place during the Civil War. Because, as I said, if they got control, if the Union got control of, this, of the Mississippi, all they had to do was bring all of their ironclads, or basically submarines, down and deploy all of their troops coming out of the Mississippi River, slowly taking over like this, absolutely just pushing all of the Confederates back all the way to the waters and then completely destroying them, basically.
Taking their land.
It would also, yeah, it would also, in fact, that happened with one general. He went through and freed, I believe, over 200,000 slaves in a matter of 2 months.
Good for him.
He destroyed a lot of the railroads, the southern railroads, to stop the supplies from going through. He burned barns and plantations. He burned probably, I think the damage that he did is worth $2 billion of damage.
Like $2 billion today or $2 billion
today? $2 billion today is still $2 billion there. It's just worth more money back then.
Yes, I know.
Because back then, you could buy an acre of land for 5 cents. So think about that.
That's much my grandma got hurt.
Actually, not 5 cents, $5. It's
$5. Uh-uh.
Uh-huh.
No, because, like,
you could buy an acre of land for $5. Because
I thought it was, like, $50.
Mm-mm. I looked it up. 1860s, and I think, especially Wild Western times, you could buy an acre of land.
Oh, because there's so much land to go around, because, like, no one had, like, established.
Exactly. The government didn't have that much of land, but now an acre of land costs a couple thousand dollars. But that's also because of inflation.
Yes,
because
there
the
are
more
a
money
lot.
That's printed, the less the money is worth. That's also the problem with Germany in World War I, is they owed all this money, and so they decided, let's just try to print all this money, and then we'll use that. Not realizing that that's causing inflation, because now everybody has a lot of money. So now everybody has to raise prices to even buy anything, or else everybody's rich and the economy doesn't work.
Yes.
Anyway, back to Civil War.
Okay.
Yeah. Ironclads were a big deal, so that was why they were trying to keep the Mississippi River to under Confederate rule.
Right.
So, now we're going into May 26, 1862, the first battle of Winchester, Virginia. After 2 weeks of maneuvering and battles at Cross Keys and Fort Royal, General Stonewall Face Jackson, Stonewall Jackson, attacks Union forces at Winchester and successfully drives them from the city. This victory is the accumulation of his 1862 Valley Campaign. So yes, now we have, now we're going to go on down to the 7 day, July 25th to, or June 25th to July 1st, 62, the 7 days battle before Richmond. General Lee's army attacks the army of the Potomac under General George McClellan in a succession of battles beginning at Messersville on June 26th and ending at Malvern Hill on July 1st. Now, why they have all these hard names to pronounce? I don't know.
This was ancient times. Never had come.
This wasn't ancient times. This was not even 150 years ago.
And? That's crazy to me.
No, it is 160 years ago, actually.
For those who don't know, we are younger. So, therefore, we,
No. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's ancient time.
Well, that's true, but however, like,
Ancient times
how they did things then to now is very huge.
I consider ancient time. Yeah. So
that's what I mean by that.
The last person to ever witness Abraham Lincoln's assassination lived to 1860 because he was like 10 at his assassination play. The play where he was assassinated. Mm-hmm. So he died 2 months after he went on TV and reported about it. And at that point, he was already 90-something, and he could barely talk.
Oh, my God.
If he lived 2 more years, he would have been alive for every single president's assassination. And or witnessed it, because he was living. Maybe he would have gone to Kennedy to go see him. You never know. I doubt it, but you never know. Things happen. Well, now we're going on to the Battle of Fredericksburg, Virginia, December 13th, 62. The Army of the Potomac under General Burnside is soundly defeated by Lee's forces after a risky river crossing and sacking of the city. So, the problem with the smart thing about General Lee is that he would often fool one of the generals by making his men cross an area to make them look bigger where they couldn't see him. So go into the clearing, go back all the way to the fort, and then come back and rotate, mm-hmm. as if we're moving in different platoons to make our army look ginormous, even though we only have 75,000 and they have 100,000.
They're making their units look larger than they actually were.
Yes. They're making them look like they have more platoons.
Units.
Yeah. Now we have September 17, the Battle of Antietam, or Sharpsburg, Maryland. The bloodiest single day of the Civil War. The result of this battle ends General Lee's first invasion of the North following the Union victory. President Lincoln will produce the Emancipation Proclamation, an executive order that freed every slave in the Confederate States. So, yeah.
It's a monumental year.
It was a big deal. So now we're going to go into January 1st, 1863. January 1st, 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation goes into effect, applauded by many abolitionists, including the man, the myth, legend, Frederick Douglass.
So much for a legend.
What do you mean?
You couldn't even say his name right.
You know what? That's not the point. All right. Now we're going to go into May 18th, 1863. The Siege of Vicksburg, Mississippi begins. Union forces under General, the man, the myth, the legend as well, General S. Ulysses S. Grant, or General Ulysses S. Grant, you get the point. He attacked Confederate defenses outside the city on May 19th to the 22nd. If Vicksburg falls, that means that the Mississippi River will be completely controlled by the Union. So he went into a few-month siege, which was a very big deal because that means if they won the Mississippi, it basically meant an inevitable defeat for the Confederates.
If you're wondering why we don't go more into depth about these certain topics, it's because we planned this.
Some of them were not
30 seconds before we started filming.
We're not as knowledgeable on these topics, but we try.
Right.
Now we have June 28th, 1863, which was the Gettysburg Campaign continues. The Confederates pass through New York and reach the bridge over the Susquehanna River at Columbia.
What a name.
But Union militia set fire to the bridge, denying access to the East Shore. Southern cavalry skirmishes with Union militia near Hamsburg. Now, let me explain this. So, Battle of Gettysburg, the whole point of Gettysburg was what General Lee did in basically a last attempt to try to win the war. He went up.
Was fail.
And around. Tried to go up and then over D.C., and if he could get past Gettysburg, he could make it all the way to D.C., meaning if he took over the capital, they could win. if they took over the capital, it'd be monumental and very, very bad for everybody else. Like, it'd be...
Luckily, that didn't happen.
It would be really, really bad.
Who knows what would have happened today?
Yeah, if they would have done that, they probably could have won the war. Quite possible.
We weren't there, so we
And now we have July 1st to the 3rd, which is a very sad time, which was the Battle of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, which was the bloodiest battle of the Civil War, which lasted, I believe, 3 days of the Civil War, and Robert E. Lee's hopes for a successful invasion of the North dash away. So, Gettysburg was very sad, because there was a lot of people that died there.
A lot of soldiers had unfortunately passed away due to this event.
Yeah. And, yeah. So that wasn't the best thing to happen, but it meant that there was still a chance that the North could win after so many losses.
Never your hopes have got to you so much.
Now, we're going to... We're just going to skip a little bit until March 2nd, 1864, where Ulysses S. Grant was appointed Lieutenant General, a rank revived at the request of President Lincoln. Grant assumes command of all Union armies in the field the following day. Fair. So that means he made him the general, basically, of the army. So he basically is in charge of the army. Big deal.
Yes, especially for the time period of which this happened.
Yeah, it's a very big deal. Now we have, this battle was also very bloody. May 4th to 5th, 1864, the Battle of Wilderness, Virginia, the opening battle of the Overland Campaign or Wilderness Campaign, Ulysses S. Grant, accompanying the Army of the Potomac under General Meade, who was the man who actually did about $3 million in damages to the South. So, yeah, shout out to him. Great guy.
Truly amazing.
Yeah.
Not like we live in the South or anything.
Well, I don't really agree with slavery.
I don't either.
So, issued orders for the campaign to begin on May 3rd. Lee responded by attacking the Union column in the dense woods and underbrush in an area known as the Wilderness west of Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Now we have the Battle of Spotsylvania Courthouse, Virginia, May 8th to the 21st. Lee successfully stalls Grant's drive towards Richmond, the capital. Abraham Lincoln is nominated by his party for his second term as president, June 8th, 1864. Assault on Petersburg, Virginia, June 15th to the 18th. After withdrawing from the lines at Cold Harbor, the Army of the Potomac crossed the James River, and with the troops from the Army of James attacked the outer defense of Petersburg, the primary junction for several southern railroads. After 4 days of bloody attacks, Grant accepts that only a siege can systematically isolate the city and cut off Confederate supplies to the capital of Richmond. Yeah.
Very educational.
Mm-hmm. Now, this was a battle where actually Lincoln went out to visit and to spectate this battle. And he went out to his men on the front line as a spectator. Well, in that time, people would go out and watch the battles as spectators, and, I mean, they could kill him.
If they really wanted to, they could.
But the thing was, it just isn't respectful. Back then, it was more about respect in the war. That's why Grant and Lee met, and they were really respectful towards each other after killing, like, probably thousands of each other's men. It's all right, though. We're good buddies, you know.
They made up.
July 11th to the 12th. Attack on the defenses of Washington, Jubal. Early's troops arrive on the outskirts of Washington, D.C., and trade cannon fire with a token Union force remaining in the forts around the city. President Lincoln, as I said, observes the skirmishing from Stevens as reinforcements from the Army of the Potomac arrive and quickly fill in Ward's early withdrawals that evening. So, yeah. We have the Battle of Peachtree Creek or something like that. July 20th. The first major battle around the city of Atlanta. I can't speak today. General Hood, he's from the Hood. He sends out his army out of the city's defenses to attack the approaching federal troops. Under George Thomas Bush, George Thomas, after several hours of fierce fighting, Mr. Hood withdrew back his own defensive works. The Battle of Atlanta, the Hood's second effort to throw back the Union forces under Sherman, brings him heavy casualties with no positive results. General James Charles, James McPherson, commander of the Union Army of Tennessee, is killed during the fighting. Oh, I really shouldn't have made that joke before. I forgot that he died. That was really messed up. Now I think about that.
Your jokes weren't that good anyway.
You know what? I don't want to hear it. They were great.
Sure.
They were great. November 8th, 1864, a very touching moment, was when Abraham Lincoln was reelected as president because his men... a lot of the men in the military decided to go out and rapidly vote for their president, which must have been really touching and really appreciated by their commander-in-chief, Abraham Lincoln. So, props to you, Abe, and all the soldiers who voted him.
Thanks for that. Made history.
Yeah.
I mean, just because you make history doesn't mean you're appreciated, but...
Yeah, that's true. I mean... John Bell Hood from the Hood is thoroughly defeated and the threat to Tennessee ends. I mean, he made history. It's just not great history.
That's true.
February 17th of 1865, Sherman's army captures Columbia, South Carolina, where Confederate defenders evacuate Charleston, South Carolina. March 4th, 1865, Abraham Lincoln's official inauguration. Now, attending his inauguration was John Wilkes Booth, the man, the not the myth, not a legend, who assassinated Abraham Lincoln because he is a stupid racist man. And he was actually executed. As soon as they found him, they brought him in, and then they shot him in the head.
Which, no, I support in this instance.
Yeah. North Carolina was occupied by Fayetteville from Sherman's army. So, yeah, that was interesting. Then we have the Battle of the Five Forks, Virginia.
Five Forks.
April 1st, 65. The Confederate defeat at Five Forks initiates General Lee's decision to abandon the Petersburg-Richmond siege lines. It's pretty funny because he just abandoned the city. He just abandoned the capital. Same with the president.
Because that's exactly what you do when you're in time
but
of need.
But the sad thing is that they lit all of the military buildings on fire so that they wouldn't get any of the documents. But
why
the fire spread out of control and it burned the entire city. And when the Union got there, they had to act basically as firefighters.
Don't play with fire.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid. They didn't think that they were going to destroy their own town, I guess. So... April 14th, 1865, the very sad day that Abraham Lincoln goes to a play that he seems to have very much been enjoying since this play, right when he went to this play was basically when they knew they were going to win the war. The North knew they were going to win the war. And so he had, after the death of his son, he basically told his wife, you know, I'm excited to finally be president for the next 3 years of an era of peace. And sadly, he did not get to live during those three years era of peace of presidency, which is very sad. Shout out to who didn't kill Abraham. So everybody else that was next to him in the play, shout out to y'all because y'all
didn't stop said.
They had no guards up there at the time because assassinating a president was unheard of at that point. The Secret Service wasn't even a thing. The Secret Service wasn't a thing.
Never checked to see if anyone had guns?
No, because nobody thought to check somebody for guns. 9/11 and stuff like that hadn't happened. Terrorist attacks hadn't happened. Assassinations hadn't happened. Nobody thought that somebody would have the audacity to walk up to the president and shoot him in the back of the head.
It was a male, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Clearly, it speaks for itself.
Oh my gosh. Now that's sexist right there.
Males have the audacity all the time.
But you can't talk about sexism and then that's sexist.
But think about it, logically, like, all, like, most murders, that's what.
I was gonna say, you cannot try to say that most murders are the men. You didn't see the scandal murders? Where the woman, killed her
children? A little bit majority, but not necessarily most.
Not necessarily majority either. There was a woman just a few years ago that killed both of her children because she went with a man, and she made the decision to.
No, I did not see that. Unfortunately, I am unaware of the...
And the man didn't force her. She had her own decision. She could make her own decisions.
That's great.
In my opinion, unless someone has a gun to your head, they can't make you do anything. You always have a choice.
That's not true. If someone's not going to hurt you or your children, or, like, close family members,
unless someone's
incapable of helping themselves.
Unless someone has a gun to your head, or a gun to someone that you love's head, you always have a choice to do something. Nobody can force you to do anything.
Or someone in power, type of thing.
Yeah, but they still can't force you to do anything. You still have a choice.
That's true. Just picked off a...
Well, anyway.
Would look like a mole.
The Confederate President Jeff... Moles don't get picked off.
I was going to show you to it. I can show you it, but... It's right there.
It's just dead skin.
Well, no, it was a different color.
The Confederate President Jefferson Davis is captured near Irwinville, Georgia, and he was actually held... for 2 years, the Confederate president was, and Lee was let go. He was allowed to go live his life.
Must be nice.
But the president was held captive for 2 years. One of the years, he was not allowed to speak to any of his family members and was living in terrible conditions, in shackles. And then the second year, because he had good behavior, they allowed him to have an apartment. So, that was nice, you know.
Some privilege, you know.
And then after that, they released him. So, yeah. That is the history of the Civil War. So, yeah.